heaven has blessed us that we have yet another day on the time side of life. Somebody ought to be able to say, praise the Lord. God has been better to me, I know, than I deserve. And brother, look, and sister, look, if you know, like the word of God shows, that God has been better to all of us than we deserve. Did you guys get all excited about the wedding? Well, there were people that were up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, early in the morning about the wedding. And some people were wondering who was invited and who was going to come. And some people were wondering why they were not invited. And they missed out on the wedding. But I'm going to tell you, I'm looking to another wedding, a better wedding, a greater wedding. If you are a member of the Church of Christ, if you have obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And God has given us a wedding invitation through Jesus Christ. John, the Revelator, in the book of Revelation said, I saw New Jerusalem. He said, I saw her adorned as a bride coming down out of heaven. About New Jerusalem coming down as a bride, that's the wedding that I want to be a part of. That's the wedding feast I want to be a part of. And you know, you have an opportunity this morning to be invited to that wedding. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and he arose again the third day according to the scripture, if you repent of sins, confess Christ, and are baptized in water, then you get your white robe and you're invited to the Lamb's wedding feast. I don't want to miss that one. We're thankful for those of you who have come this morning, especially those who are visiting with us as guests. And we'll have an opportunity later on to get you to stand and tell us a little bit. Well, not tell us a little bit, but just stand and we'll be able to welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ appropriately. If you're coming by way of television or if you're coming by way of instant messaging or Instagram or live feed, we certainly welcome you to the worship this morning. And our prayer is that we might say something that will do you good. We are inviting your attention to the book of John this morning. In the book of John, and I certainly want to appreciate Brother Gary, the great lesson series that he had as he was going through, and he's showing us the biography of Jesus Christ. And some of those things that he touched upon, and Brother McKinney on last Sunday night, I said, wait a minute, I got these in my lesson notes. I believe the Holy Spirit works together with us. John chapter 1, if it's in your Bible, John chapter 1 and verse number 4, please note the scripture. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John did a wonderful job. John, we think of most often as the Revelator. And John in John chapter 1 had said, John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And he sent and he signified it by his angel John to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And people get all excited. And yes, the book of Revelation is a wonderful book. But John had revelation before he got to the book of Revelation. And right here, I hope you can see something this morning. This is a revelation in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse number 4. In him was life. And I have entitled the lesson for this morning, in him, get this, is life. Was life, in him is life. This is a revelation from the word of God. Life was in Jesus Christ. Life was in him, and he laid down his life on Calvary's cross, and he died, and he went into the unseen abode of the dead, and he stayed there for 3 days. And Jesus lay in the grave for 3 days. And somebody said early on Sunday morning, he kicked off the covers of death. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18, he says, I am he who was dead, and now I'm alive. And get this, I'm alive how long? Evermore. So I'm saying in him is life. This is an amazing, amazing revelation from John. In John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, get this, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is an amazing thing. He is the light, and he is the life, and he is the light that lit every man, every woman, every boy and girl on the face of this planet. God gave us life and light. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Oh, you got that imagery about weddings in your mind? Do you have that? Have you come to the wedding and you see how they go around and they light the candles? Have you seen that when they get, what do? They start off and they light the candle lighter and they go down the row and they light each one of those candles. And it's beautiful. And folks get all emotional. Folk cry at, do you cry at the weddings? They lit all of the candles. Do you get this? Every one of us in here has life, and we have been lit by none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, brother, somebody ought to say it. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. He has given us life. He lit every one of us. Everyone that comes into the light of the world, somebody needs to understand, all of us need to see that we owe Jesus a great debt of thanks, a great debt of gratitude. Because if you have life in your body this day, I'm talking about physical life now, I'm not yet talking about spiritual life, you are a blessed person to have received it from none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank God for sending the light. And thank God that the light is on for all of you that are in here this morning. In John chapter 1 and verse number 3. Get this, it's in the Bible. John chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Do you have some good things in your life this morning? James tells us that every good and perfect gift, you know where that came from? It's not because of our intellect. It's not because of our training and our graduation and our resume. It is a gift that came from God. Not only did he give us light, not only did he give us life, he gave us every good gift that we have today, up even unto this very present moment. You got some good gifts? Folks like to brag about their gifts sometimes. What's the best gift that you received? The list ought to be really, really short. The best gift that we have gotten, it came from none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made all things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is shining light everywhere that he goes. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16, get this. Notice this now. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were made by him, and they were made for him. And Jesus lets us have some of the things that he made and the life that... I'm telling you, this is a revelation from John that Jesus is the Christ, and in him is life, and in him is light. Now, I'll tell you, the question is, how does light manifest itself in the world? How does light show itself in the world? How does light conduct itself? And that's what we saw a little bit in the biography as we're going through the biography with Brother Gary's series. We see a little bit of how Jesus' life walked about in this world and how he conducted himself in this world. Life sometimes in this world will run right directly smack dab into death. Have you noticed that? There's probably not a one of us in here who has not at some time in some way or another has been touched by death. If you have not, just keep living. Just keep living. You will get touched. I tell you, it's happening all the time. Have you noticed that you can't get up and run as fast and as far as you used to? I tell you, I used to run 2 miles every day. Get up. Now I get on 2. And I said I'd never get to the point where I couldn't run 3 miles. I found out it's a lot easier to drive. I don't run the whole 3 miles now. I run one. But I run one and I run one again. But I'm telling you, we're starting to wind down. We're starting to move from life toward the inevitability of death. Jesus is life. And Jesus, as life, did encounter death in this world. But notice how Jesus reacts. In Mark chapter 5, in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Jairus' daughter is at the point of death. And he came looking for life. He had heard about Jesus Christ. He'd heard that biography about Jesus, that this man has gone about and doing good. When John the Baptizer was in prison and he had heard about Jesus and all the things that he was doing, he sent his disciples. And we ask in that biography, are you the one? Or do we look for another? And you know what Jesus told the disciples of John? You go back and tell John what you are seeing. Jesus told him about the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and get this, and the dead are raised to life. Jesus said, you tell John that life is in this world, and when death encounters life in the person of Jesus Christ, life is going to win. Jesus went over, and certainly he went over to try to do what he can as he was trying to minister to Jairus. His daughter had died, the word came. Say, don't trouble the master anymore. But in Matthew, Mark chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus went into the abode and the folk were making all of this big ado and they were crying and they were mourning. And Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, wait. Y'all stop all of that. Because this damsel is not dead, she's just sleeping. And they looked at Jesus. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. This man does not know the difference. But you know what the difference was? Jesus is life. They're looking at death, but life meets death in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, get up, talikumi. He says, get up. And you know what she did? She got up. Because death encountered life, and life got the victory through Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy. Life, looking at death, Jesus shows us that he is victorious. Straightway, that young woman arose. She got up and she started walking around. What do you think? Those people were astonished. They were shocked. They were amazed. When we get this revelation of Jesus Christ in our minds and in our hearts, that Jesus is life, it makes a difference how we conduct ourselves in this life. Jesus speaks life in the place of death. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 12, you want to see how life conducts itself in a world of death? In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 12, the Bible says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. Oh, this woman's son died, the only son of his mother. His mother is a widow. She ain't got no man. And now the whole city, a whole bunch of those folk are surrounding her. And we want to lift folk up and we want to support and we want to encourage them when they have the loss of a loved one. But Jesus came on the scene. Life walked up on this funeral procession. And Luke chapter 7 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and he came and he touched the bier. And when life touched death, you know what happened. The story is the same. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 15, the Bible says, he that was dead sat up. Isn't that what it says? Not only did he sit up, he began to speak. Lord, have mercy. Wonder what he said. Thank you, Jesus. Do you thank Jesus for life? Jesus touched death and he brought life from death. And just like he did it for them, just like he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Just like he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Jesus, anybody want to live forever? Now, you ask that question, sometimes folks say, no, I don't want to live forever. Well, what you doing in the church if you don't want to live forever? Because, see, we got to walk with life. Jesus is not death. You know, when those Sadducees came to Jesus, tempting Jesus, and they trying to give him that illustration, Brother Gary covered, and they were talking about, well, we had one woman, and she had a husband. And her husband died, and she had no seed. And there were seven of these brothers now, and when that one died, according to the law of Moses, his brother had to marry her to raise up seed, and he married her, and he died also, having no children. And the third one, you know what? I think if I was in line, it's like, wait a minute. I know what the law says, but that was my brother and my next brother. And but Jesus went along and said, you know, you do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. He told them, look, hey, you know that God is the God of who? God is the God of the living, not the dead. That's when you come to the church or house of God, the church of Christ, the house of God. Brother, we ought not be dead up in here. Amen, electric lights. When you come to the house of God, we ought to have life. Because we serve a risen Savior, a living Savior. Certainly, Jesus died according to the scripture. He was buried. But don't miss the fact that he arose again the third day. And in Revelation 1, verse number 18, again, he is the one who was dead. And now he's alive and is alive forevermore. In him is life. And brother, we ought to be able to praise God. We ought to be able to thank God for the wondrous and amazing blessings that he's given us. In John chapter 11, you know this one. We all know this one. Jesus had a friend by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. And Jesus delayed his trip to go and visit Lazarus. And Lazarus died. And Jesus loved Lazarus. And Jesus loved Mary and Martha. You know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus is concerned about the things that we're going through. And he will help us if we yield ourselves to his help. Now, if a person don't want to be helped, you can't help them if they don't want to be helped. Is that right? We got to understand that. If we're going to receive help, we got to first be willing to receive the help. You ever come into contact with somebody that didn't want any help? I'm not trying to complain or anything, but my wife and I were at one of the stores, and I was out there going to find something to eat while she was in the store. And I went over, and the guy came up to the car and said, hey, man, I'm hungry. Can you give me some food? Give me some money. He didn't ask. I said, well, you know, I'm going right over here. Come go with me. And he walked over there with me, and we went into the restaurant. Now, I don't know. He might not like McDonald's. I don't know what it was. I went into McDonald's and I ordered something. I said, get whatever you want. And he said, that's all right. It's like, I thought you was... But the point here is, if a person doesn't want him, you can't help him. He wasn't hungry, brother. And he left. But I was trying to help. Listen, when we come to Jesus, listen, receive the help that Jesus is able to give. Jesus is life. God gave Jesus, and Jesus came into the world to give us life. And since God gave us Jesus, he will give us everything or anything if we come to him in faith and in prayer. Listen. We walk around sometimes with our burdens. And I'm not suggesting that we don't get down sometimes. I know we do. I get down sometimes. But you know what? I ain't going to stay down. Not because of me, but because I serve a risen Savior. He's an ever-present help. So listen, don't walk around in the doldrums all day, every day. Jesus is life, brother. Jesus, and I'm going to go back to that. I use that phrase, kicked off the covers of death. But you know what? I don't think Jesus really kicked off the covers of death, but it sounds good when you're preaching. Because when they came and they looked in the tomb, you know what they saw in there? They saw the dress that Jesus had on, the burial dress. It was all folded up and nice and neat. I think I could preach a lesson on there about make up your bed. Somebody say, yeah, preach that. preach that. But Jesus, I'm telling you, he brings peace to our hearts. He brings peace to our minds. Because we have the confidence that we have life through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, Jesus goes to visit the gravesite of Lazarus. And his sister comes crying to him. And she said, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You don't get it. Do you see it? You got to see this. It's a revelation. Focus your lenses. If you had been here, what are you saying, Mary? My brother, what do you want, Martha? My brother, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Why? Because Jesus is life. If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. And Jesus told her in John chapter 11 and verse number 23, your brother, thy brother, he shall rise again. And you know what she said? She said, you know what? You know, I know that he's going to be raised again in the last day. And Jesus said, wait. Let me help you adjust your vision just a little bit more. Yeah, you talk about the resurrection of the last day, and we look forward to that resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah! We shall rise. But John 11 and verse number 25, get this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, get this, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When those Sadducees came to Jesus and talking about all of these folks dying and all these men dying, and you know, he told them again, you make a great mistake. You don't know the scripture nor the power of God. He told them that Abraham is the Son of God. Abraham now lives. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And that's why we ought to be live when we come up in here. We ought to be living in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We ought to be living under the blessings of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11 and verse number 43, you know, when Jesus went out to that graveside, Jesus lifted up his voice. He spoke loudly. Yeah, it's all right to speak loud sometimes, y'all. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. When life calls out to death, what has to happen? Lazarus came out and he still had on the burial wrap. And Jesus said, loose him. Because life got up out of the grave. Life is offered to us by Jesus Christ. Life is offered to us by God. How does the world, however, react to life in the world? Every man, every woman, boy, and girl was lit by him. All things were created by him and for him. In John 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and the light which shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They just didn't receive it. Light came unto the world. Light is coming to the world. And it shined in the darkness. And the darkness could not receive the light the way that it should receive it. Have you been in a dark room with all the lights turned out? Maybe you're doing your meditation, you're praying, and you got all the lights turned out, and somebody walks in and turns on the light. What's your reaction? Oh, wait a minute. Turn that light out. It's too bright. And that's what happened when Jesus came and the light was shined into the world. The Bible says, the darkness comprehended it not. In John chapter 1 and verse number 10, it's crying time. The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. All things were made by him and for him. And when he came and he shined the light into the world of darkness, they didn't comprehend it. And when he came to his own wouldn't even receive him. Lord, have mercy. You've given us the greatest gift. And we walk around sometimes not knowing that we are kings and queens. We are princes. We are royal priesthood in the kingdom of God. Receive the blessing of God. Walk like a prince. Walk like a princess. Walk like royalty, because that's who you are. We have nothing to complain about. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. That is the charge for the child of God. Oh, I ain't going to complain. We sing that song at funerals sometimes. But listen, how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives receiving the blessing of the gift of God? In John chapter 1, in verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It's such a sad time. Receive Jesus, brother. Receive Jesus, sister. Receive Jesus, our friends. Receive Jesus. And I'm not talking about an intellectual acceptance right now. I'm talking about for those of us who have been born of the water and of the Spirit, we are princes. We are princesses. We are kings, we're queens in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are royalty. All of that stuff that they were showing all day long yesterday on TV about that stuff that was hoping over in Brent, that's fine, that's wonderful. We got something better. We got something greater that is going on. A royal priesthood, children of light. But this is the condemnation of the world. Notice in John chapter 3. And verse number 19, it's crying time. It's crying time. John chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And they said, shut out that light. Turn off the light. And they took Jesus. Men nailed him to a tree. He laid down his life. He had to lay it down because no man could take it from him. Why? Because he is life. And he is light. Life was put into the tomb. And he stayed there for 3 days. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 24. This is in the book. Check it. The Bible says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not possible for death to keep Jesus under wraps. So he got up out of that grave. And he says, I am he who was dead, and now I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. And he has the keys of death and of hell. So he is the life gatekeeper. And Jesus can lock us in, or he can lock us out. I tell you, I want Jesus to let me have that life forever. In John chapter 6, they were having this discussion and talking about Moses and that bread that had come down out of heaven, and that Moses had given that bread to come. And Jesus said, look, Moses didn't give you that bread. My father gave you that bread. No, I was there. My daddy gave you that bread. And Jesus told them that I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. Jesus gave his flesh to eat. He gave us his blood to drink. And he gave us life, an opportunity for every man, every woman, every boy and girl, not only to have physical life, but to have eternal life. Don't you want eternal life? There used to be a TV show that came on called Fame. It was very popular in Houston especially, but a lot of folks watched that. Debbie Allen came right out of Houston, and they were dancing and singing and all that. But one of the lines in one of the songs said, I want to live forever. You know what? If you want to live forever, we need to come to life. You know who that is? That's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is what I call God's now and later plan. I was thinking at this point, Brother Gary, that I should have a big basket of now and later candies and get everybody a now and later. So the theory behind now and later is that you can eat some now and you got some later. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, the abundant life right now, and heaven after a while. Isn't that all right? All right, but no, you don't get no now and laters. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you repent of sins, confess Christ, and you give your body to be baptized in water for remission of sins, you can have the best of both worlds, the good life, abundant life now, and heaven after a while. Listen at the Bible. This is my last scripture. In John chapter 5 and verse number 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, get this, everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, you can be born into the family of God. If you have not been living as a prince or a princess or king or queen in the kingdom of Christ, and you've just got encumbered in this world, and maybe you need to come and request prayer, whatever your desires are right now, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. Said it's